This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, teed up at Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. Landsberg Golf Club, which was the site of the ninth event on the Todd Wright Tour back on April 1st. It also hosted the second event on the Todd Wright Tour going back to early 2016. General Manager Steve Martin is one of my favorite general managers at any golf property in the Tampa Bay area. You can ask for him when you call or when you visit and tell him you listen to the podcast. Landsberg-golf.com or call 727-784-7333. Landsberg Golf Club is in Palm Harbor. It is a public golf course, as are five on the Florida Golf Trail: Bardmore, Northdale, the Preserve at Terra, and of course Bloomingdale Golfers Club, which will host the next event on the Todd Wright Tour coming up on July 8th. If you'd like to play in the Todd Wright Tour X Games on July 8th, there are limited spots available for singles, twosomes, threesomes, and foursomes. Email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com for more information. Check out some of the details at joebucksfan.com/golf. All right, we're in June now, which means we're really just a month away from ramping up fantasy football conversation as it relates to setting draft boards. You'll be further solidifying your leagues, how many teams, who are the owners. So it's getting close. Let me just review some news from the last few days in this. We'll make this podcast one of the shorter ones, as we did last week. We'll start with the Isaiah Crowell situation as it relates to the comments of Cleveland Browns head coach Hugh Jackson. Reading off Roto World via Scott Petrak on Twitter, Jackson saying, "Go look at my film about his history in running the ball," and talking about how Crowell can take it to another level in 2017. Crowell was the only running back in the top 20 in rushing last year that had fewer than 205 attempts. The problem for Crowell last year, and I can speak to this as a Crowell owner, was not getting scoring. He had just 7 touchdowns on those 198 carries. The 4.8 yards per carry were primarily off large runs. That's fine. However, you know, we're not going to compare Isaiah Crowell to Barry Sanders, who would get large chunks of yardage as well, and sometimes would get run down inside the 10-yard line, and then a touchdown vulture would come in and ultimately get the score. But for Isaiah Crowell to be considered running back one, a lot of things have to happen, and I'm not willing to invest a draft pick in him in a season-long league as running back one until I see those things happen. And of course they won't, because we'll have already had our drafts in August or early September. I need to see a lot from the Cleveland Browns offensive line to believe that they are as good as some are advertising. The Browns need to get some capable quarterback play to ease Isaiah Crowell's ability to be more consistent running the football and not the primary threat. Of course, Terrell Pryor isn't there anymore, so that takes someone else from the Browns offense away from the defensive coordinators worrying about that player on the field. We still have no idea what the Browns will do with their quarterback situation, whether it will be Brock Osweiler or DeShone Kizer or none of the above. So investing an RB1 type pick in Isaiah Crowell, I think, would backfire on you. Last year, when I played him, he was basically a running back 3 and I would consider him more of a running back four. There were some weeks where I played him because I felt he would get volume, but there were even times he was losing consideration in carries to Duke Johnson. So I don't know that just because Hugh Jackson as a head coach has absolutely nothing to give him credence at this point. There are so many things that can go wrong here. I wouldn't recommend you considering Isaiah Crowell as an RB1. Honestly, unless you're in a 16-team league where obviously getting someone as a running back two means you're getting a starting running back, to me, he's still more of a running back three until further notice. Some other things as it relates to running back situations, again, playing off news from the always wonderful RotoWorld site, the Amir Abdullah news that his 2016 foot injury was a Lisfranc tear that happened in week two. Lions did not spend draft picks or money in free agency on someone to be a lead type running back. So it appears that at least going into camp, Abdullah has the opportunity to be an early down guy who gets the volume in an offense that we know is primarily moved by Matthew Stafford throwing the football. It's not a bad situation, but much like Crowell, it's nothing you want in a season-long situation to say Isaiah Crowell is one of my top two running backs or Amir Abdullah is one of my top two running backs. Look, by week three, week four, week five, week six, you might be in a position where they have merited you playing them as your number two running back if they happen to be on your roster or if you are playing in a daily game and you feel their price is worthwhile. Need to see a lot more as it relates there. The Minnesota Vikings situation is very murky right now. Latavius Murray, who signed as a free agent from the Raiders, did say via the St. Paul Pioneer Press, his goal is just to try to be available during training camp at some point. He had a boot removed earlier in the week after ankle surgery in March. Maybe not ready for the beginning of camp, insisting he's feeling really good, sensing that the selection of Dalvin Cook in the second round is a real threat to what he perceived as a great situation for him with the Vikings moving on from Adrian Peterson. I like Latavius Murray. I don't like this situation at all as it relates to Latavius Murray. And at this point, I wouldn't be considering Latavius Murray until I have more information once we get to the start of camp, because it just feels like this is now Dalvin Cook's job to lose. I'm not really high on Dalvin Cook overall, as most teams weren't based on how he fell in the National Football League draft, the crowd he keeps, and some other baggage that comes with Dalvin Cook. But that's not to say he can't come into camp with Murray not healthy, clearly look the part of a number one back who the team is excited to play to see what he can do, and go out and be successful at least at the beginning of the season. I'm going to avoid this situation personally with my season-long leagues. I won't be touching Dalvin Cook, and as much as I love Latavius Murray, his situation now feels a lot like Mike Glennon's, where you sign as a free agent somewhere that you feel fits you very well, and then suddenly the draft changes that. At least Glennon is healthy to fight to keep his job, and Murray is not. Terry Rubisky is the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans. He said this week. He would, quote, find ways to use both DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. Okay. Last year, Murray had huge volume. Derrick Henry got very little until the last, I'm going to say, week 12. Derrick Henry started to get some red zone looks, and then I guess week 13, maybe week 14, he started to get a possession as Murray was dealing with, a knee and ankle or a foot. It wasn't serious, but he had obviously had taken a lot of carries and maybe was playing through something. Murray had a fantastic year, and I would expect that this year, unless there's concern that Derrick Henry cannot handle the workload, that you need to see something more. You need to hear something more out of Titans camp, and maybe even, I mean, Henry had a phenomenal preseason. What did that mean? Granted, he's going into his second NFL year. I would look at it this way. I would caution on getting the same season-long numbers on Murray that you got a year ago. Because let's face it, they were really good. But I wouldn't go nuts thinking Derrick Henry is suddenly going to be in a timeshare here or enough to be any more than a handcuff. And you know, that's a common term for a backup, and that's where we're at with Derrick Henry until we see something that tells us otherwise, that Henry is more of a handcuff back. I'm very big on the Titans overall. I love their draft, especially when it came to pass-catching offensive fantasy options. But I think the Titans are more than comfortable doing the same thing at the running back position they did a year ago, unless they've come to the decision that, you know, we can't use DeMarco Murray as much early in the season as we did a year ago. And at this point, I don't know that Terry Rubisky's comments are anything more than a little lip service. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is teed up at Landsberg Golf Club in the Florida Golf Trail. Again, Florida Golf Trail is 7 golf properties in the Tampa Bay area. 2 are private, Bayou Club and River Hills Country Club. River Hills Country Club was actually the host to a Todd Wright Tour event last summer. We are going back out to the Brandon area on July 8th this summer to Bloomingdale, a public course, for the Todd Wright Tour X Games, the appropriately named 10th event on the Todd Wright Tour. For all the information, you can just email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com or go to joebucksfan.com/golf, and you can see the details on the Todd Wright Tour 10th event, the X Games, coming up on July 8th at $59 per player. That includes lunch, and I am trying to get you breakfast from a place that I like in the Brandon area, which will be added at no additional charge if I can do it. And remember, Landsberg Golf Club, also a member of the Florida Golf Trail, where I just hosted my last event, one of the 5 public courses, like Bloomingdale. Again, Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. My experiences with them have been very good, not only hosting golf tournaments, but I think you'll find them very worthwhile for the price in terms of playing those golf courses. I thank them for their sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm actually playing in an event at a Florida Golf Trail property this weekend, a charity event to send some youth baseball kids to Cooperstown next summer. And that's at Northdale coming up on Sunday. Last note, I guess we'll comment on this Fat Rob Kelly ESPN report of cutting his body fat from 18% as a rookie to 13%. There has been a lot of praise for the Redskins with their pick of Perrine from Oklahoma in the 4th round, and many who feel that that is a plug-and-play type option for fantasy purposes. I don't have enough to go on to disagree with that. I wouldn't be investing my own personal RB1 or RB2 season-long draft pick in Perrine. I'm not sure what to make of Rob Kelly's future. Being in better shape will help, but I don't know that it's that newsworthy. He said he will still keep going with the nickname. Again, with the Washington Redskins, when we think fantasy, we think of Kirk Cousins and his consistent numbers. Jordan Reed, who's kind of like a Rob Gronkowski, so productive when he plays. You just have to always monitor whether or not he's going to play, and it's frustrating. If you own a Jordan Reed, as it is, if you own a Rob Gronkowski, when you have a week, and then another week, and then 3 weeks later, another week, and then 2 weeks later, another week, and so on, where you can't play them. Because it's not like you have a lot of room on your rosters to stash tight ends. So you're usually grabbing one a la carte off the waiver wire for that particular week. And after a while, you sort of get fed up with having to do that. Sometimes it works out, as it did for me last year with Cameron Brate. As a Rob Gronkowski owner, I love Gronk, but Brate turned into a rock-solid starter for me. So by the time Gronk was ruled out for the rest of the season, I just felt comfortable keeping Brate in there. And I'd rather have someone who can just play every week. And Jordan Reed owners may feel the same way. So as it relates to the running back position, I think you just still need to monitor this. I'm open-minded to Perrine being someone who we can slot on a fantasy draft board in season-long leagues, but the Redskins running back situation to me just screams more daily fantasy than something you want to invest in August or early September in a season-long league. That does it for this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. I said on last week's podcast, I was aware of the podcast being listened to and downloaded in 16 different countries. Very nice to hear that many of you are staying in contact with the podcast worldwide in this offseason, an offseason that's going to end in a little over a month. Stay with me as I will be ramping up my conversation and my podcast once we get to the opening of training camp and get you ready for the start of the fantasy football season. We'll talk to you next time.